As the trial of Chad and Lori Daybell nears closer, specifically Lori in the coming weeks, we're trying to give you as much context on the case as possible. So we're going back into the archives all the way to 2020, August 3rd and 4th, for the preliminary hearing of Chad Daybell, parts 1 through 13. So you can hear where it all begins in the courtroom and where it will pick up as the trial of Lori Daybell begins very soon. This is that hearing. Let's go to the courtroom.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. You'll be back on the record. Court took a brief recess to cool it down in here. We were in the middle of direct examination of Detective Stubbs. And Mr. Wood, I think you had just admitted 17 and 18 into evidence. It looks like you have 18 on the easel right now. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. You may proceed with your direct examination.
Your Honor, I wonder if I could adjust that so that I can see easel as well.
That's fine. Do you need to scoot it back towards the wall?
I think so.
Counsel, please see.
Yes, thank
Judge,
you.
Judge, can you see?
I can.
Your Honor, due to the nature of what Detective Stubbs is going to be testifying to, we'd ask that he be able to stand next to the easel and put on a mask.
That's fine. Mr. Wood, why don't you don yours while he does that? There's a laser pointer as well, Mr. Wood. I don't know if you've explained that to Detective Stubbs. Okay. Hold up here. If he's going to be touching the exhibit, why don't we put some gloves on the witness here if there's going to be anybody else that's touching it. There's some right here.
Detective, now that Exhibit 18 has been published, can you, since we took a break, can you just briefly summarize again what Exhibit 18 is and how you prepared it?
So this was an aerial photograph taking of this apartment complex, April 2000 is when the photograph was taken. What we did was we took, if you will, we made this table of contents here, which I numbered 1, 2, 3, 8, and 9. Those numbers correlate with the red triangles that I have placed on this map in two different locations and represent, from the Google documents, the location services for the Homer J. Maximus account. These latitude and longitudes correlate with these triangles. Now, also accompanied on this map, along with those records from the Excel spreadsheet, as I mentioned, 28,000 plus pages, the number here and the reference number on the far left column of that Excel spreadsheet is the quick reference 1234 and so on down the page. This number correlates with that line item, if you will. Next are the coordinates that Google provided for us. Next to that is the date and time that these locations were logged through Google on that account. And the very last line over here is margin or radius of error from these findings from Google.
Okay. And are all the margins of error the same?
No. Depending on the one, they range, as you can see here, if you can see, from 4 meters and a couple at 15 meter radius of error.
Okay. On exhibit 18, why did you focus on the coordinates you focused on?
Mainly because of two things. These are two residents where Alex Cox resided in 107. And Lori Bell, Day Bell, resided in 175.
Okay. Was there anything significant about the dates?
As far as the dates go, 1, 2, and 3 are dated the 9th of September, 2019, in the early morning hours of that day.
What is the timestamp on... Can you point to... pin number 3.
Here in the parking lot.
And what is the timestamp on that?
Number 3 is 0242 hours and 2 seconds.
Okay. And what was the date on that?
That was the September 9th.
Okay.
2019.
And can you point to pin number 2?
Pin number 2 is almost in the same location in the parking lot.
And what is the time on, what is the timestamp on that?
Pin number 2 is 0242 and 11 seconds.
Okay. And can you point at pin number 1?
Same location at this triangle here.
Okay. And what is the timestamp on that?
That would be 0337 22.
Okay. What is the margin of error on pin number 3?
Pin number 3 is at 4 meters.
What is the margin
Judge,
of error?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. He said 4 meters or 40?
4.
4. Thank you.
What is the margin of error on pin number 2?
4 meters.
And what is the margin of error on pin number 1?
4 meters.
Okay. Now, let's talk really quickly about the timestamp. When you receive Google records, are they in mountain time?
No.
How is the time delayed on the Google location data?
So on the Excel spreadsheet, they would be in UTC time.
Okay.
UTC here during that time of year is UTC minus 6 hours.
Okay, thank you. Can you point at pin number 8? Actually, I'm going to ask you to point to pin number 9 first.
Pin number 9 is over in this area here.
Okay. What is the timestamp on pin number 9?
Pin number 9 is, would be September 6th, 2019 at 2:56 a.m. and 13 seconds.
Okay, and what's the margin of error or radius of error on that?
15 meters.
Okay. And can you give us the same information on pin number 8?
Pin number 8 is the 14th of September 2019 at 01:21 and 43 seconds in the a.m.
And what is the margin or radius of error on pin number 8?
That again is 15 meters.
All right. Your Honor, I'd ask to publish State's Exhibit 17 at this time.
No objection.
Is that correct, Mr. Wood?
Yes. And again, just to clarify for the record, due to taking a break, can you just briefly summarize again what States Exhibit 17 is?
This is an aerial photograph of the Chad Daybell property.
Okay, and where is that located?
202 East 1900 South in Fremont County.
And did you prepare that that summary in the same manner as States Exhibit 18?
Yes, I did.
Okay. How many data points have you plotted on that summary?
Four data points.
Okay. Can you point to data point or location number five?
Location number five is in this area here.
Okay. What is the timestamp on that?
Timestamp of September 9th, 2019 at 9:21 and 36 seconds in the AM.
Okay, what's the margin of error on that?
That would be 6 meters.
Can you point to location number four?
This area here?
Mm-hmm. What is the timestamp on that?
Timestamp of September 9th, 2019 at 10:57 and 03 seconds in the AM.
And what's the margin of error?
5 meters.
Okay. Detective, can you point at location seven on that summary?
Here?
Yes. What is the timestamp on location seven?
Timestamp of 09:56 and 28 seconds in the AM.
Okay. What's the margin of error on that?
4 meters.
And finally, can you point to location number six?
Number six is in the same area, general area.
And what is the timestamp on that?
9:23:2019. At 10:02:19 hours in the AM.
And what's the margin of error?
3 meters.
Okay. Thank you. Detective, I can take your seat again.
Detective, when you've been seated, you can take off your glove and mask if you'd like.
Detective, you testified about the contents of the Homer J. Maximus Google location data. Are there other data points located on the Daybell property in that in the data that was given to you on your search warrant return?
There are additional data points in the area, yes.
And are there additional data points near or on the near the Lori Vallow apartment at 565 Pioneer Road?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a reason you didn't map out all the data points on the Homer J. Maximus Google location data?
Well, the reason being is because the file is so massive that it would take, I can't even imagine how long it would take to put all the waypoints on a map.
Okay. Say, I have no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. Cross-examination, Mr. Pryor.
Thank you, Judge. Initially, when you went out there for the interview of Ms. Vallow, and I believe that was in November, is that right?
That is correct.
And the date in November was what, officer?
The 26th.
Okay. Now, the purpose of that initial visit was a welfare check, was it not?
It was.
Okay, so it was a preliminary matter, is that correct?
Yes.
And you're a detective with which law enforcement agency?
The Rexburg Police Department.
And as the Rexburg Police Department, is it your policy that even for preliminary matters, such as a welfare check, you are required to have your body cam on?
It is not a requirement. However, since I've been issued a body camera, I always make it a practice to wear it when I go to talk to people outside the office.
And that is because you want to accurately and correctly reflect what someone says to you. Wouldn't that be the case?
That's right.
And you want to accurately provide a record of what was transpired because people make mistakes, correct?
Yes, people can make mistakes.
And police officers are obviously people as well, and police officers make mistakes when they're in the course of doing an investigation. There are times when they may not recite things exactly the way they are. So a camera is a tool to help you do that. Is that correct?
Your Honor, I'm going to object. I think that's more testimony than it is a question.
Mr. Pryor, what's your question?
The question is that it's a good practice to have a body cam and record a conversation when you're interviewing any witness, correct?
That is my personal feeling for me.
And you're doing that out of experience, correct?
Correct.
Now, there was some previous testimony about Mr. Cox residing in Unit 175. Do you have any information that suggests he was residing in Unit 175?
I don't have that knowledge whether he was or wasn't residing, other than my body cam footage saying that he was there.
Okay. And during the time that you went there on the 26th of November, Mr. Daybell wasn't there, correct?
That day, I never saw for myself Mr. Daybell.
And there was an acknowledgement that her brother was there, though, correct?
That is correct.
And then on the second trip, I don't recall seeing whether there was an acknowledgement that Mr. Cox was there. Was he there again the second time, do you recall?
I do not know.
Okay. All right. But again, you didn't see Mr. Daybell there, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And your belief is that when you went to Unit 175, it was because you believed that was Lori Vallow's residence. Is that right?
That is right.
Okay. And your data points seem to suggest that you're looking at Unit 175 and Unit 107.
Correct.
And there's a reason for that, is there not?
Yes.
That's because somebody lives in Unit 107, right?
We believe one of the family members lived in 107.
And who would that be?
Alex Cox.
And who lives in 175?
Lori Vallow.
So just so we put this into terms that I can understand, when you're talking about 4 meters, you're talking approximately 12 feet?
Approximately.
And when you're talking about 15 meters, you're talking about 45 feet?
Approximately.
Okay. I am curious, and this is in the way of an explanation. When you're talking UC time minus 6, give me an example of what UC time minus 6 is. It looks like the clock says 3:05. So what would be an example of that?
Well, if you will, there's a point where they actually start recording time. And as you go through time zones, you gain or lose whatever an hour from the starting point of, if you will, a time starting.
Okay,
and
so
then, because we're in mountain time,
right,
at that time of year, you take the general time and you subtract 6 hours from that.
So when you say 2:42 in pin number 2, in this example, and it's 2:42, do we go back 6 hours earlier?
No, you would add 6. From UTC time, you minus 6 to get to our time.
If I could ask you to go back up to the exhibit, would you mind doing that for me?
Mr. Pryor, exhibit 17 or exhibit 18?
Well, I'm going to start with 17, then we'll go to 18 after that. Because I think 17 is still up there, is it not, officer?
Actually.
All right, so that one is number...
This is 17.
That's right. I'm sorry, maybe I misspoke. So let's talk with pin number 5. On pin number 5, you said it was on September 9th.
Correct.
And you put down the time as 9:21 a.m. Is that correct, officer?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then you put down the time of variance or margin of error, I guess is the appropriate term, based on what I've read, the margin of error is 6 meters, right?
Correct.
So is that actually 9:21 a.m. on September 9th, or is there a additional time that needs to be added to that?
It was, in our time, 9:21.
Okay.
However, when you talk to a carrier of a phone or Google or whoever else, they generally send you this layout in UTC time. So depending on if you're on the East Coast, if you're here, wherever you are, you can do that margin and deduct those hours or add.
So you're the one who came up with the calculation as to what these proximate times are, is that correct?
The only thing I did was minus UTC time minus 6 to get our local time.
Okay, okay, all right. And then again, on number 7, pin number 7, what was the time on that one?
09:56:28 in the a.m.
And those points that you're talking about reflect a device that was owned by Alex Cox, is that correct?
The Google states are belong to Alex Cox.
Okay. And on the items that were set on the apartments, those times and those pins were a reflection of a device that was owned by Alex Cox, is that correct?
The same device.
Okay. All right. Thank you, officer. Go ahead. You can return to your seat.
Can you tell me what the range of summaries is in this particular case? In other words, the start time for which range you subpoenaed Google and the end time for which range you ended. You're reflecting about 28,000 pages of documents. I'd like to know what the range is, the start range and the stop range.
You know, I would have to actually look at the search warrant again to be sure of the dates we requested.
Well, my recollection is we admitted that, did we not, as exhibit?
Search warrant 2019-86.
Okay. Do you have at least a recollection of what it may be?
From what I remember, and first part of September.
Okay.
Through December? Through when we served the search warrant.
Okay. All right. So we don't know how many times from September through December that those devices were on the Daybell property then, correct?
We don't have a total number at this time, no.
Are you working on that?
There is things being worked on at this time,
are
yes.
Are you working on that?
I am working with members of the FBI CAS team to come up with those numbers.
Okay, so in other words, we're going to continue, at some point in the future, there'll be a complete analysis of every date that this particular device or devices was not only in the apartment but also on the Daybell property. That'll be forthcoming, I can assume that, correct?
Well, I can't answer for exactly what the CAS team is doing, but they are doing additional analysis on those times and those coordinates.
Okay. And that information has been preserved in the event there needs to be a someone else taking a look at that as well, correct?
That is correct.
Did you have an occasion to talk with Mr. Daybell at any time?
I can't hear you.
Did you have an occasion to talk to Mr. Daybell at any time?
No.
You hesitated. Why is that?
I was trying to remember if I had said stand right over here or whatever while he was in the kitchen. I don't exactly recall.
Okay, so there's no recorded conversation or body cam of Mr. Daybell that you have in your possession, is that correct?
I did have my body camera on that day as well.
Okay.
Have I reviewed that as of the last little bit? I have not.
Have you provided that to the prosecuting attorney?
I believe he has copies.
Okay. All right. Judge, I have nothing else at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wood, any redirect?
Not at this time, Your Honor.
Thank you, Detective Stubbs. You can be excused from the witness stand.
This exhibit,
which number exhibit is that?
16.
Thank you. Are there any other exhibits there in the witness cubicle? We'll allow cleaning to take place of the witness cubicle. Mr. Wood, who do you intend on calling as your next witness?
Your Honor, Spencer Ramos for the state. The state would next call Wynn Hill.
Say that one more time.
Wynn Hill.
Wynn Hill?
Yes, Judge.
Mr. Wood, can I have the bailiff put that exhibit backwards again?
Yes.
You can leave that on there, Mr. Bailiff, if you just want to turn it around backwards and set it against the wall. Mr. Hill, if you'll come forward, stand in front of this witness chair, raise your right arm and face the clerk. Stand right there in front of the plexiglass and look at the clerk right here. Raise your right arm.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give in this call is not from each other the truth, the whole truth, and
yes.
You can be seated here in the witness chair, Mr. Hill. Once you're seated, Mr. Hill, you may take off your mask. Mr. Wood, you may inquire.
Thank you, Judge. Again, Spencer Rammel for the record.
Mr. Rammel, I apologize. You may inquire.
Thank you, Judge. Can I have you state your full name and spell that name for the record, please?
My name is Wynn Hill, W-Y-N-N-H-I-L-L.
Mr. Hill, where are you employed?
At Brigham Young University, Idaho.
And how long have you been employed at BYU, Idaho?
Yeah, just over 14 years.
And what is your current role at the university?
Yeah, I currently serve as the Dean of Students there.
Does BYU-Idaho use a student management system?
We do.
Are you familiar with that system?
I am.
How so?
Yeah, I work in the student life area, and so we have a student life management system that connects to the larger student management system.
Mr. Hill, will you scoot a little closer to the microphone?
Sure.
Pull that microphone down a little bit and aim it right at your chin.
There we go.
And then up at your mouth. That's great.
Great.
What information does your student management system hold?
Yeah, it holds information from the application process and other student enrollment information on a student.
Does your system allow you to look up current students attending BYU-Idaho?
Yes.
Does your system allow you to look up past students?
Yes.
That have attended BYU-Idaho, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Does your system allow you to look up individuals who have applied but are not currently attending BYU-Idaho?
Yes, it does.
Did you check your registration system for a specific individual in request of the Rexburg Police Department in relation to a missing persons investigation?
I did.
Who was that individual you checked for?
I believe they gave me the name of Tylee Ryan, Tylee Cox, Tylee Vallow. I checked all of those names with the date of birth of 9/24/02.
And can you tell me the date that you did that?
I can. It was February 28th of 2020. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Can you tell me where you were when you checked it?
I believe I was in my office.
On campus?
On campus, yes.
And what was the result of that check?
Yeah, we couldn't find any information on that person.
So it's your testimony that names Tylee Ryan, Tylee Cox, and Tylee Vallow with the corresponding date of birth, September 24th, 2002, has never applied to BYU-Idaho or has never been a student at BYU-Idaho.
According to our records.
Judge, that's all I have.
No questions, Judge. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nguyen. You can be excused from the witness stand. Mr. Rammel, may this witness be excused from the court?
From the state's perspective, yes, sir.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Hill, for appearing. Mr. Rammel, are you going to call the next witness as well?
Your Honor, I'll take care of the next witness. The state calls Melanie Gibb.
Back on the record in State v. Daybell. The court took a brief recess to try and cool it down in here. Mr. Wood, is your witness ready?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Ms. Gibb, if you'll please come forward. You can come here through the gate on this side. Ms. Gibb, if you'll stand here in front of this plexiglass, raise your right arm and face the clerk.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give in this class now and you shall be the truth of what you're saying and that you have to do so?
Ms. Gibb, I didn't hear you.
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Gibb, you can be seated here at this witness chair. Ms. Gibb, if you'll scoot up to that microphone and then pull it down below your chin and aim it at your chin. Mr. Wood and Mr. Pryor, I think the record isn't picking up your voices as well as it is everybody else's, so if you'll do the same, pull that down and then point it up at your chin, it makes a much better record. If you'll pull it down, Mr. Pryor, and then point it up, kind of like this, so that you don't talk over it. Mr. Wood, you may inquire when you're ready.
Thank you. Will you state your name and spell it for the record?
Melanie Gibb, G-I-B-B.
Okay. Ms. Gibb, are you familiar with the defendant, Chad Daybell?
Yes.
Approximately when did you meet him?
About 3-4 years ago.
Okay. Do you remember where you met him?
Yes. I was in Morgan, Utah.
Okay. Since you've met him, what is the nature of your relationship?
The nature of our relationship was talking about some of the books that Chad had written and his relationship with Lori.
You mentioned Lori. Is that Lori Vallow?
Correct.
Okay. Approximately when did you meet Lori Vallow?
October 2018.
And do you remember? Do you recall where you met her?
Yes, in Mesa, Arizona, at a church.
Okay. What was the basis of your relationship with Lori Vallow?
It was based upon things that we talked about, which were spiritual in nature.
Would you call yourself? Were you friends with Lori Vallow?
Yes.
Okay. Are you familiar, or do you know if Lori Vallow had any children?
Yes.
Are you familiar with Tylee Ryan?
Yes.
Did you ever meet Tylee Ryan?
Yes.
And did you ever have opportunity to see Tylee Ryan with Lori Vallow?
Yes.
Okay. And was Tylee Ryan Lori Vallow's daughter?
Yes.
Ms. Gibb, when was the last time you saw Tylee Ryan?
July or August of 2019.
Where was that?
In her house in Chandler, Arizona.
Okay. Are you familiar with J.J. Vallow?
Yes.
Who is J.J. Vallow?
Lori's adopted son.
Okay. When you spent time with Lori, did you have occasion to spend time with J.J. at all?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Gibb, I want to call your attention to, well, do you recall where you were between the dates of September 19th, 2019 and September 23rd, 2019?
Yes.
Where were you?
Rexburg, Idaho.
Why were you there?
I was there to visit Lori. I was also there to be at an event called Firm Foundation.
Okay. Do you recall when you arrived in Rexburg?
Thursday the 19th.
And do you know approximately when you left Rexburg?
Yes, I left Monday the 23rd around 9:30 in the morning.
When you were in Rexburg, where did you stay?
In Lori Ballow's house.
Do you recall the address of that house?
No.
Do you recall the general location of that house?
It was a townhome. I don't know the name of the street.
Okay. Was that townhome located in Rexburg, Idaho?
Yes.
Yeah. During that weekend, did you have opportunity to spend time with Lori?
Yes.
Okay. About how much time did you spend with Lori that weekend?
Most of the time, except for on Saturday, I spent most of the day, about 10 hours, up the street at that event.
Okay. When you were at Lori Vallow's house, did you ever have occasion to see Chad Daybell there?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall approximately how many times you saw him there that weekend?
Two, three, four times, maybe.
Okay. So you don't recall an exact number?
Not an exact number, but okay. I think every day is except for the Monday.
Okay. And it was Monday, September 23rd?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have occasion to witness Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell interact with each other?
Yes.
How did they interact with each other?
Affectionately.
Okay. And when you say affectionately, what do you mean by that?
Holding hands, hugging, light kissing.
Okay. Did you ever have occasion to speak with, when you were during this for approximately 4-day period in September, did you ever have occasion to speak with Lori Vallow about the nature of her relationship with Chad Daybell?
Yes, we talked about it often.
Okay. What did she tell you about that relationship?
That they were very much in love with each other and wanted to be together as soon as possible.
Okay. And did you ever speak with Mr. Daybell about that relationship?
Most likely, but I can't recall exact words.
Okay. Ms. Gibb, during that September 19th to 23rd, 2019 period, did you ever see Tylee Ryan?
No.
Did you speak with Lori Vallow about the location of Tylee Ryan?
She informed me that Tylee was at BYU Idaho and mentioned something about being with friends.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
When you were during that same period, did you have occasion to see J.J. Vallow?
Yes.
Where was he located when you saw him?
He was in the family room, mostly, and then outside some.
Okay, when you say the family room, can you be more specific?
The room that's adjacent to the kitchen.
Okay, and what home was that located in?
Lori Vallow's home.
Okay.
Ms. Gibb, I want to call your attention to the night of September 22nd, 2019. Do you recall what you did that night?
Ms. Gibb, you're facing the state. I'm going to invite you to turn your chair just a little bit so that I
this
can
way?
See you.
Oh, this way?
This way, so that I can see your face as you're speaking. I recognize you're answering Mr. Wood's questions, but I need to see your face as well as you're answering.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What did you do the night of September 22nd, 2019?
The night of the 22nd, I was doing a recording with Lori and David Warwick, and we were in the kitchen recording that.
Who is David Warwick?
He is a boyfriend of mine.
Okay. And you said you were recording a podcast?
Yes.
Okay. Was Mr. Daybell there during the recording of that podcast?
No.
Okay. Do you recall if J.J. Valla was there during the recording of that podcast?
I did not see him.
Okay. Did you see Alex Cox that night?
Yes.
Okay. What did you witness, or what did you observe Alex Cox doing that night?
He brought J.J. into the house during the middle of the podcast.
Okay. And did you see him bring JJ into the house?
Yes.
Okay. How did Alex Cox bring JJ into the house?
He carried him in.
Okay.
And he was asleep.
And it just may have occurred, but I'm trying to get a foundation as to the timing, and I may have missed it, and I apologize if I missed it.
Mr. Breyer, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Do you mind pulling your microphone down and then aiming it up at your chin? So, there you go. Repeat that one more time.
Judge, I missed the time, and I can't recall which time she said, if she did, when that occurred with Alex bringing the baby in. I don't recall.
All right.
I'll lay more foundation, Your Honor.
I didn't know if you did or not. I thought I may have missed it.
Please do.
Ms. Gibb, do you recall about what time Alex Cox brought JJ back into to Lori Dallas' home?
I can say we recorded the podcast between 9 and after midnight, a little after midnight, so someone in between that time.
Okay. You don't remember the exact hour?
I don't.
Okay. I'm going to call your attention to the morning of September 23rd, 2019. What did you do during the morning of September
23rd, 2019? Upon awakening, I got ready for the day and came downstairs, had a brief conversation with Lori Valla, and then got into the truck with David, and we drove off to Pocatello.
Okay. What was your conversation? Do you recall the content of your conversation with Lori Valla that morning?
Yes.
And do you recall approximately what time you had this conversation with Lori Valla?
Sometime between 8 and 9.
Okay. What did you speak about with Ms. Valla that morning?
She shared with David and I that JJ was acting with a lot of energy, and I'm trying to remember the words, but she recalled him climbing upon the refrigerator, knocking a picture down of Jesus, she said, and then climbing up upon the cabinets.
Okay. And did you see JJ that morning?
No.
Okay. Do you know if he was in the house that morning?
No.
Okay. And do you have any idea of where he was that morning?
No.
Okay. Over the course of that weekend, did you ever have a conversation with Lori Valla about Kay Woodcock?
Yes.
What was the nature of that? Do you remember when, during that weekend, you had that conversation?
Friday, Saturday. It could have been several of the days. I'm not sure.
What was the nature of that conversation?
She was expressing that she wanted JJ to go live with Kay, and she expressed different solutions. He could either stay with Kay or, I believe, a son of Kay's that had a family already that JJ was comfortable with, or that they liked JJ and it was a good match. I think they had a little girl, and she said that she would express to Kay that he was that she was sick or something was wrong with her, so that she could live with him.
So that who could live with
JJ could live with Kay.
Okay. And at any time after that weekend, did you ever have a follow-up conversation in regards to that subject?
Yes.
Do you remember approximately when you had that follow-up conversation?
It was shortly after. I can't recall.
Okay. What was the nature of that follow-up conversation?
I asked how it went, giving JJ to Kay. She told me that they met up in an airport, and she told Kay that she had breast cancer and that she would need help with JJ for a period of time, and she said it went well.
Okay. So was it your understanding after that conversation that JJ Vallow was located with Kay Woodcock?
Yes.
And had you ever met Kay Woodcock?
Briefly.
When?
The time that Charles Vallow was moving out of his house in Arizona to Texas.
And who was Charles Vallow?
Lori's husband.
Okay. Ms. Gibb, I'm going to call your attention to the date of November 26, 2019. Do you recall where you were on November
26, 2019? I do.
Where were you?
I was in Pleasant Grove, Utah, in David Warwick's home.
Okay. Do you live in Utah?
No.
Where do you normally live?
Gilbert, Arizona.
Okay. And so were you visiting Mr. Warwick that day?
Yes.
Did anything significant happen that day in regards to Chad Daybell?
Yes.
Okay. What contact, if any, did you have with Mr. Daybell that day?
I received a phone call from Chad Daybell from his cell phone to my cell phone, and I answered the phone call.
Okay. And do you recall approximately what time it was?
Late morning.
Okay. And you said you got a call from his cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know it was his cell phone?
Because when the phone number came up, it had his name on it.
Okay, and was that a contact you had previously stored in your cell phone?
Yes.
Okay. And Ms. Gibb, had you previously had any discussions with Mr. Daybell through that same phone number?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall what that phone number was?
Yes, it was 208-690-9374.
Okay. And I may have already asked this, I apologize if I did. Approximately what time were you called by Mr. Daybell that day?
Late morning.
Okay. What was the nature of that conversation?
He said, "Hi, Melanie, this is Chad. The Rexburg police are going to call you. Don't pick up." He
okay.
said, oh.
Okay. Where did the conversation go from there?
He let me know that the police were over at Lori Vallow's home in Rexburg, and that they were inquiring about where JJ was, and that she was going to tell the police that JJ was with me.
Okay, how did you respond?
In shock, and I can't recall if I said anything at that moment. Oh, I did say, after the shock, I said, JJ's not at Kay's house.
And how did Mr. Daybell respond to that?
He said no.
Okay. Was there any other content to that conversation?
I asked him if he was nervous, and he said yes.
Okay. Was anything else said?
I can't recall.
Okay. That same day, November 26, 2019, did you have any contact with Lori Vallow?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember approximately where you were when you heard from defendant, from Lori Vallow?
Yes, I was in the same place.
And where was that again?
That was in Utah, in David's home.
And approximately what time did you hear from defendant Vallow, Lori Vallow?
I possibly within an hour or two. I can't exactly recall.
Okay. And when you say an hour or two, what is that in reference to?
Her calling me, Lori calling me.
Right. Was it an hour or two after what?
Chad's phone call.
Okay. What was the nature of that conversation?
When I picked up, she said, "Hi, Melanie. This is, you know," well, she probably didn't say her name, but she said, "Just want to let you know everything's fine." She was upbeat, cheery, acting like nothing was wrong.
What happened after that?
She told me that the police had been there asking for JJ, and that she told the police that I had JJ, that I was at a movie called Frozen, that she asked me just to pick up my phone and take a picture, a random picture of kids running around, and that she would come by and pick him up, and then, no, I'm sorry, that after me driving home from Utah to Arizona, that she would come and get him later that week.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there, Ms. Gibb. I'm going to point you back to this conversation or the statement about picking up your phone.
Mm-hmm.
What did she ask you to do with that again?
Take a picture of random kids to make it look like it was JJ.
Okay. And I kind of lost track. I apologize.
That's okay.
You said something about driving down to Arizona. What was that part of the conversation? Who said what?
So she knew that I was going down to Arizona for Thanksgiving, back to my home. And she said that she told the police that she was going to pick him up from my house from Arizona, which I had no previous knowledge to this. This was new information to me.
Okay. Did Lori say anything else to you about JJ?
I can't recall exactly, but I can recall what she talked about Kay.
What did she say about Kay?
She said that Kay was trying to kidnap JJ. And I said, "How do you know?" And she said, "Well, I've received emails, you know, being threatened that he was going to kidnap me." I said, "Well, what does she say?" And she said, "Well, she sent me emails, and she said, she quoted Kay saying, 'It's not like I'm going to kidnap him or anything,' and that she was." That she was trying to protect JJ and from her and other people, not just Kay, but possibly family members as well.
Okay. And you said that, to your perception, she seemed upbeat and positive. Were
yeah.
those the words you used?
Yes.
Okay. To your perception, when you spoke with Mr. Daybell that day, how did he sound?
Very nervous.
Is that why you asked him if he was nervous?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
After receiving these phone calls, how did that make you feel?
Horrible. I felt in shock. I was not okay with it because she told something to the police that was not true, which I had no knowledge of. So I was, I had a really bad feeling in my stomach, and I felt very shooken up by it.
Okay. Do you know if the Rexburg police attempted to contact you that day?
They did.
Okay. How did they try to contact you?
They tried calling me, and once I believe they left a text.
Okay. And did you respond to them that day?
Not the Rexburg police. I did not.
Okay. How come? Is there a reason?
Well, first of all, Chad tells me not to answer it, and then Lori tells me that her child is in danger. So I'm not sure what to believe or understand what's going on this time. I'm very confused.
Okay. Did you speak to any law enforcement that day?
Yes.
What interaction did you have? Do you know which law enforcement agency you spoke with that day?
Gilbert Police.
Okay. And do you recall if there was a specific individual you spoke with that day from Gilbert Police?
Officer Ryan Piller.
I'm sorry, can you state
Officer
that?
Ryan Piller.
Ryan Piller?
Correct.
And do you know how that last name is spelled?
P-I-L-L-A-R, or there could be a Y, so okay. I'm not for sure.
What contact did you have with Officer Piller that day?
He called me, left a message, and I returned his phone call.
Okay. What was the nature of your conversation with Officer Piller?
He was responding to the Rexburg police and was asking about JJ and his whereabouts.
Okay, and what did you tell him?
I told him that I had been with JJ, but that he was back with Lori.
Okay. When you said you had been with him, what did you mean by that?
That he was with me, and then she came to get him.
Okay.
So that it would turn the police back to Rexburg and not with me, because I, yeah.
Now, Ms. Gibb, had you recently had JJ with you?
No.
So when you told Detective Piller that you had, was that an accurate statement?
No, it was not.
Okay. And did you believe that JJ was actually with Lori at that time?
I was not sure.
Okay. So was that, pursuant to the knowledge you had, was that an accurate statement?
Yeah.
Okay. But you, did you also tell Detective Piller that JJ was not with you?
Correct.
And was that an accurate statement?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a reason you told Detective Piller you had him?
Yes, because Lori was misleading and she was manipulating me or trying to convince me that he and she was in danger. And so because of our friendship, I thought, I have really no idea if this could be true or not. And I was very perplexed, very troubled, and I really did not know what to do. I was trying to reconcile all these feelings I had.
Okay. Did you have any subsequent contact with the Gilbert Police Department?
Yes.
And do you recall approximately when that was?
I believe it was December 7th or 8th.
Okay. And what contact did you have with the Gilbert Police Department?
I called Officer Piller, and I informed him that who I was, and that probably a lot more detail about the conversation about what happened, about JJ and Lori and Chad. And I also had something that I had recorded that I wanted to give to him.
Okay. Let's talk about that. What had you recorded that you wanted to give to Officer Piller?
I recorded a conversation with Chad and Lori on Chad Daybell's phone. About 21-minute conversation. And that conversation was about where was JJ. The conversation talked about why did you tell the police that I had JJ when I did not. And she explained that. And I also explained to her my concern for her salvation and Chad's, and that they had been very deceived. And I also wanted to make sure that the police knew that I did not have anything to do with this.
Okay. How did you record that conversation?
On a cell phone.
Okay. You mentioned earlier the conversation was with Chad's number.
Correct.
Was that the same number you discussed earlier?
Correct.
Okay. And what phone did you use to have this conversation?
My phone, and then I had a recorder phone on David Warwick's, and so I put my phone on speaker, and then I recorded it with his phone.
Okay. Had law enforcement asked you to record a conversation with Mrs. Vallow or Mr. Daybell?
No.
Okay. So this was something you did of your own accord?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember, and maybe you've already answered this, what day you made that recording?
December 8th.
And where were you located when you made that recording?
I was in David Warwick's home.
I'm sorry, where?
I was in David's home.
Oh, okay, David Warwick's home.
Yes.
Okay, I apologize, I misheard you. And again, is that the same home in Pleasant Grove, Utah?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, the state would ask that state's exhibit that is marked as Exhibit 19 be shown to the defense and handed to the witness.
Exhibit 19 is being handed to the witness.
Ms. Gibb, do you recognize the state's Exhibit 19?
Yes.
Have you seen it before?
Yes.
Have you reviewed the contents of that disc?
Yes.
And when did you review the contents of that disc?
Yesterday.
Okay. And what is on that disc?
It's the exact conversation that I recorded on my phone.
Okay. And is that the same conversation you shared with law enforcement?
Yes.
And was it Detective Piller that you shared that with?
Yes.
Okay. And the recording on that disc, is it a true and accurate representation of the original recording you made?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, the state would ask that State's Exhibit 19 be entered into evidence.
No objection.
Exhibit 19 will be admitted.
Your Honor, the state would request that Exhibit 19 be published.
All right, would you like to publish that on the screen here that's hanging on the wall?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is there video and audio or just audio?
Just audio.
Ms. Warwick, or excuse me, Ms. Gibb, if you'll hand that exhibit to Madam Bailiff. Madam Bailiff, was there another disc in there?
Yes.
Will you please hand that disc to Mr. Wood so that he can identify it and we can make sure that that gets put into evidence?
Your Honor, that is State's Exhibit 14. It's no longer in the case with the marker.
Okay.
Your Honor, would you like me to hand this to the bailiff? Or?
Yes, please hand it to the bailiff. Madam Bailiff, do you have the envelope that shows... Okay, Exhibit 14.
All right. And Madam Bailey, or Mr. Wood, the disc that has been placed in the television at this point is Exhibit 19. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And you're moving to publish that?
Yes.
Mr. Pryor, any objection to publishing Exhibit 19?
No objection, Judge. Thank you.
You may proceed, Mr. Wood.
Thank you. Your Honor, we seem to be having a similar problem earlier.
I think it's a really good time for a break. It's getting extremely hot in here again. We'll take 15 minutes so we can cool it down in here, and we'll reconvene here in 15.
You've been listening to the preliminary hearing of Chad Daybell, Parts 1 through 13. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any piece of this compelling court testimony as we prepare for the trial of Lori Daybell in the coming weeks. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.